Today is Saturday, June 15th, 2013, and we are broadcasting live on the Freedomizer Radio Network. In this episode, we'll discuss what's in the news, review some products by Right in the Rain, and speak to our special guest, Paul Tarsitano of SaveALife.ca. This is your host, AD Venture, and I'm joined by...
The Wolfman. Yes, thanks. It's always good to hear all of you out there this week. Fantastic. I hope it's been a good week for everyone. And I know AD Venture and I have had a fantastic week.
Absolutely. We've got a lot in store, a lot of stuff going on with Barefoot Bushcraft, and the weather's been very favorable this week with a lot of blue skies and a lot of sunshine.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So we have, as always, a jam-packed hour here on Barefoot Bushcraft Show. So over to you, AD, and we'll get right into business.
In the news. This week in the news, we've got, unfortunately, a tragedy to discuss. A hiker gone missing, and unfortunately... they haven't been found just yet. The story that you'll see, and we'll post that into the chat on freedomizerradio.com here, is a naked hiker on a spiritual quest goes missing in Washington State Forest. Now, unfortunately, in this particular case, what happened is this individual, her name was Maureen Kelly. She had, was camping with some friends there in Washington State Forest, and particularly in a place that was called Canyon Creek Campground. And what happened was she told her friends that she was going off on a spiritual quest, and unfortunately by midnight she hadn't returned, and her friends began the process to try to find her and contact all the authorities to attempt a search and rescue. Now, while I go ahead and post this information in the chat, why don't you give your perspective on this story, Wolf?
Yes, thank you. You know, I think spiritual quests have been around in humanity since the beginning. Things like vision quests and going out into the woods to commune with nature on a level that people generally don't normally do. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think this this young lady, I think it's amazing that she had the gumption to go out there and go out completely naked into the forest. And as someone of a very spiritual tradition, I can assure you that it is an amazing experience to do this. It's really something else to go on the vision quest, to go out into the woods, basically just like an ancient human would have. It's a beautiful thing. It's very unfortunate, though, that this young lady went missing, and I haven't seen anything updated on the news about her story, and it's very, very unfortunate. I mean, there was it's difficult to speculate what may have happened out there. And what may have happened to her out there. Now, the article did say, one of the articles said that she had a fanny pack, but it doesn't actually tell us what was in the fanny pack. Now, it said that, like myself, she went out in her bare feet and went out completely naked, which is, like I said, a beautiful thing. But I guess that's the last we've heard from her, so I have no idea. I guess anything that could have come from this, you know, you hope it's a very good thing that they'll find her crouched down under some trees somewhere, and a little worse for wear, but alive. But it's been a little while, I guess.
It has been a fair bit of time since they've heard anything from her. Now, in regards to that fanny pack that she was carrying, apparently she was carrying a compass, a small knife, and a few other unidentified items, according to the articles that have currently been posted. Now, according to her family, she was a competent hiker, but her friends and family were also worrying about being naked and unprepared and exposed to the elements. So just to let you know, this is a side comment. The article gives sort of a duplicitous aspect. You've got both, it's saying in the same paragraph, really, that she was a competent hiker, that are, according to her friends and family, but they were also concerned about her being naked and unprepared. So clearly, you know, the article itself is not giving a lot of information. And unfortunately, again, as we've unfortunately had to bring up in our conversations here, the media likes to sensationalize these sorts of situations, especially something where they would say, oh, this is hokey or this is weird, you know, a spiritual quest. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with the spiritual quest, and a lot of people are actually in great need of one to proceed to a level of understanding with their fellow man and with the environment itself. And we're not talking about, you know, something hokey, you know, and weird. We're talking about actually, you know, reaching into yourself and seeing the true meaning of your life. And these articles, unfortunately, place a bad light upon these situations and say, oh, this person clearly had mental health issues or something like that, when in fact it clearly appears to be something where it could have been an accident, being unprepared for an incident. And it may have not necessarily been the fact that she was out going naked on a spiritual quest. It might have been, you know, a cougar. Again, this was in Washington State. So there's cougars, there's bears. There's all sorts of animals there that are predatory that unfortunately she may have been prey to. So we can't speculate about that. But the big thing that we should not do is cast a bad light on spiritual quests themselves.
I completely 100% agree. Like I said, you know, I think one of the things that our westernized culture, and we talk a lot about Western culture being different than many traditional human cultures, is that we've lost that. We've lost that. Mark Morey talks extensively about this, that we have lost our rites of passage. We have lost our ancient culture. You know, there's so many people out there, and this is a crying shame, and I suppose it says more about society and the individual than it does anything else, where they say that we don't need religion, we don't, it's not part of society anymore, we don't need spirituality, it isn't part of humanity. But the reality is, spirituality and belief systems, no matter whether they be esoteric, like you know, different Native American traditions or Wicca or anything like that, or Kabbalah, or more westernized traditions like Roman Catholicism and stuff like that, I think that sense of belonging, that sense that there's something greater than us out there, is a very, very important human need. And it's been with humans forever, since we first looked out in the, you know, out of our caves, and we looked and thought, there's got to be something responsible for the, you know, seasons of change, you know, the four seasons. There's got to be something responsible for the trees. It's very, very important. And I think our coming of age and our of becoming an adult used to be always to a rite of passage. Today's rite of passage in the Western world is, oh, you're 16, you get a driver's license. But it used to be you had to go on a vision quest, a spiritual journey. You had to have, and that had to encompass certain things. It had to encompass, you know, a vision. It had to encompass communion with the divine, not necessarily like a communion that you eat. It had to encompass some hardship. And all of these things combined make you into a better person. It challenges you as a person, strengthens your belief system, and makes you better. And it's very unfortunate that we've lost this, and I really applaud this young lady, no matter what's happened to her, that she's taken the chance to go out on a limb and do this. I think it's a very beautiful and important thing. What do you think, AD?
Absolutely. I totally, absolutely agree with you. This is something where, again, even myself, you know, if my fate was to pass from this life on a spiritual journey, well, then so be it. But again, I would totally applaud this young lady. I really hope that she is found and that she is safe. But again, this is one of these things where we all die at some point. It's great to enjoy life to the fullest, but accidents do happen and things do occur. So we can't necessarily speculate about what happened to her. But the bottom line is that the spiritual quest is something that's greatly missing from the human psyche currently in our Western society. Now, we're going to move on to our next segment here.
Tips and Tricks.
This week in our Tips and Tricks segment, we'll be reviewing the Write in the Rain notebook. And we've actually just posted a video on YouTube of a review of this particular item. And I'll just post it right now while Wolf tells you a little more about it.
All right. Well, right in the rain products, I have to first of all state that we got a beautiful sponsorship from the it's called Trail Outfitters, and Trail Outfitters was gracious enough to send us a large care package filled with notebooks, not for our consumption, but actually for our destruction. And the whole point of them sending us all of this stuff was not for us to be like, oh, yes, let's give them away to everybody, but to beat these things to death and see how much they could take. So thank you, first of all, first and foremost, to Trail Outfitters for donating a bunch of product for us to use and abuse. And we'll put their website, actually. It's trailoutfitters.com, and you can go on there. Really friendly staff. But anyways, about these notebooks. So the Right in the Rain notebook is created by a company called J.J. Darling Corporation. And what they're basically designed to do is to just that, write in the rain. They're designed for any kind of outdoor activity where your paper might get wet. So I used these when I did my spiritual quest, my vision quest up the Bruce Trail, where it rained for basically 3 out of the 4 months I was on the trail, but I still had to keep journals and stuff every day. So I got, that's how I was introduced to writing the rain products. And I love them. I mean, you can write on them with a pencil or with like one of the space pens, like the Fisher space pens. And you can literally write on them while you're scuba diving. I've taken them diving to carry, to keep notes on shipwrecks. And they're exactly what they say. You can dump them in the water. You can get them wet. You can submerge them in the water. And they work just the way they're supposed to. It's a truly amazing product. Now, in the video we produced, we went down to a creek, and we took a standard, conventional, regular paper notebook, and we chucked it in the water, and then we picked it out of the water, and we tried writing on it. And if any of you have ever done that, two things will happen. Anything that you have previously written in the notebook is going to run, and just basically it's going to have a mess made out of it. And the other thing is, if you try to write with a sharp pen or a pencil, you're going to blow the paper to bits. And you can see that. And the paper also loses its tactile strength, so it's not going to be as strong. But with the Write in the Rain paper, the exact opposite happens, where the paper is just as strong. When it comes out of the water, you can write on it with a pen, with a pencil, and it works out. It's just fantastic. So I would recommend this product to anybody who does any kind of note-keeping or journaling in the outdoors, bird watching, anything like that. They even make blank paper so that you can, like, put photocopies on it. If you, it comes in different colors. It comes in white, tactical military green, and coyote brown as well. It's a good product. What about yourself, AD Venture?
I've had a little bit of experience with Right in the Rain myself, and again, they're absolutely great. They do exactly what they say. And using one of these Fisher space pens, you can use them just practically anywhere, diving, you know, in the rain. It really doesn't matter. And they're really a great product, and we are really grateful to Trail Outfitters for providing that to us. And we've provided that website into our chat here on Freedomizer Radio. That's www.trailoutfitters.com. But, yeah, I do have to agree that they're a great product and definitely worth looking into.
So one of the things that we're actually going to plan over the next few months on our channel is we're going to take some GoPro cameras and we're going to put our scuba gear on. We're actually going to do a demo of using the Right in the Rain products underwater, which is kind of exciting. When you go on to places like YouTube and that, you won't find a whole lot of real-life reviews except for the Barefoot Bushcraft one. You'll find mostly like guys doing it in like their sink or something like that. But just because we have all the professional production equipment, we managed to actually get out there in the field and chuck these things into a creek. And it was fantastic to see that in kind of a real-world setting, because oftentimes the things that we see in like in a clean or a laboratory-type setting don't always transfer into the real world. And sometimes these products look great indoors, but you know, you get them outdoors, and you're only as strong as your weakest piece of equipment, right? It's like some people will say, well, you know, I'll just buy 5 notebooks. But if you really need that notebook, then it's worth it to spend the extra couple dollars on this notepad. I think they're $7 or $8 for some of them. It's well worth it to have a product that won't fail, right? It's like axes and other equipment. If you spend the extra money now, when your life depends on it, you're going to be in a much better position rather than, oh, no, I can't write. And a lot of people who have found themselves in a position where they have to survive for a little while on their own, that writing is a great way to get their thoughts down, and it's a way to help keep their sanity. In almost every survival situation, you see people keeping journals of what they go through, and it's a huge It's like it's very, very stimulating mentally to have that happen.
It's also very reassuring psychologically. Being able to write your thoughts out is very reassuring, especially when you are in one of these survival situations. But it's also a very good idea to always have a pen and some sort of pad to write on in your normal day-to-day life so that you can write any ideas down and be more productive. From someone who's actually taken that to heart, I become infinitely more productive by just having a pad and pen next to me when I can write any sort of note down, no matter what the condition, really, if I'm in the rain or, you know, in the sunshine. So it's very useful to be able to have some sort of writing utensil to get your ideas out, to be more efficient and to express yourself creatively.
For sure. And yeah, I mean, and then if you're into the different types of pens, there's so many different types of Fisher compatible pens, including the, you know, there's the Uzi tactical pen, views out on that as well. So, you know, it's, there's all sorts of different ones. If you don't want just your basic pen, and they can range in price anywhere from $5 all the way up to $100. You know, some people, like myself, for example, I'm really into pens. It's kind of silly in this day and age, but I really enjoy having them around. So that's, again, something that, something that's just something unique, something that a lot of people take pride in.
And there's definitely something very ancient when it comes to putting pen to paper. We've been doing it for quite a long time, and unfortunately, in this technological age, we're becoming less used to penmanship and writing and even exposing our hands to a pen to write a note down. And if you take a look at the manner that a lot of people write these days, it's actually quite atrocious, at least if you compare it to the standard that may have existed 20 years ago for elementary school students, where you had to be able to write in cursive as well as print legibly and have it understood. And unfortunately, these days with all the smartphones and all these computers, people write just about anything that they want. Even though spell check is available, they definitely don't use that. And on top of that, the vernacular is changing to allow for letters such as U to actually represent the word you, Y-O-U. And it's unfortunately an aspect of laziness in current society, in Western society that we live in today. So being able to have a pen and paper available with you at all times allows you to keep yourself connected to something that we've been doing literally for thousands of years, but also allows you to express yourself very creatively without having to rely on power. Because once your iPhone runs out of power, you really can't do much with it. But with a pen and paper, you're not limited by anything but your imagination. So it's definitely something that I think that we should re-encompass with our life.
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, I'm famous for having bad handwriting, and I attribute that to, you know, for the last 30-some-odd years, I've been basically using a computer, right? Even to the point where it's like, geez, I sometimes don't even know how to properly spell a word. When you're using your, you know, any of the high technology, it doesn't matter. You can, I don't have to spell anything. I just have to kind of guess, you know? And, yeah, and then, like you say, there's a certain beauty to writing things down. Now, I would not recommend that someone, for example, you know, wants to write their resume. There was a time when handwritten resumes were more important than anything else, but, you know, things change. So, yeah, it's an interesting product. Again, they come in different colors. You can get notebooks for them. You can get different types of pens that you can write with them on. It just, I mean, the possibilities are limitless. But I think for anybody working in the outdoor recreation industry, I think these are fantastic. Like I said, when I went out and I did I went up the Bruce Trail, I had I used them exclusively, and they were just a phenomenal product that blew my mind. And when I went to purchase them, because you don't see them in a lot of stores, although they are becoming a little bit more popular now. But they're really a really fine product.
Yeah, definitely a quite unique niche market product, and that's why we encourage you to check them out and see what they're all about and experience what both Wolf and I have experienced with the greatness of this product itself. But on that note, we're actually going to go on to commercial break. And when we get back, we'll be speaking to our special guest. This is AD Venture and the Wolfman, and we'll see you on the other side.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain and Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We've had to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they'd include the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Thanks for joining us here on the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show. You're back here with A.D. Venture and the Wolfman. And we've got a very special guest lined up today. It is Paul Tarsitano of Save a Life. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on.
That's great. Well, why don't you share with our audience today on Freedom Miser Radio who you are exactly and what is it that you do?
Okay, well, I work full-time as a paramedic, and I also run Save a Life as the head instructor for Wilderness First Aid CPR. I also have other hats that I wear. I teach Wilderness Survival with WSC Survival School with David Arama. And I'm also with the rescue courses, High Angle, Swift Water, and Ice Rescue with Advanced Rescue Technique School of Canada as well. So I'm pretty busy and just love the outdoors.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So so in the medical field and into outdoor rec, that's pretty awesome. How did you get started in doing that?
Well, it's a long story. About 40 years ago, it's when I was a teenager, let's just say the law got the better hand of me, and the judge gives me an option. The judge gave me an option when I was a juvenile, rather to go to a training school or to a week-long canoe trip. And obviously, I took the week-long canoe trip, and everything just started from there. Just in love with the outdoors, and also put me on the right path, so to speak.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So it's almost actually just before you came on, we had talked about a young lady who her name is Maureen Kelly. She ended up going on a spiritual quest of her own out into the wilderness. Unfortunately, the results weren't as positive as yours. But so would you say that it was almost like a life changing vision quest like thing? It was rough being out there, gave you a new perspective on life and changed your career?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, how it started, I went down the French River with this group, and the French River just pulled me for some reason. For years, I would go up every year, sometimes on my own, which I really don't recommend now, always go with a buddy. And later on in life, what happened was I started, teaching first aid, and then actually in my 20s, I joined the Toronto Sportsman Association, and I took their survival course. I just fell in love with this, just the nature and everything else. And then I wanted something more challenging, and then found a survival course at Humber College with David Arama, and that was close to 23 years ago. And I became a field aide, and till this day, I help teach survival courses with him. And I branched out for the Wilderness First Aid and developed my own company, something that was a little different with survival, but also they go hand in hand. So started off as a ski patrol, became a volunteer with a search and rescue unit. And from there, it just branched off, just taking more courses, going out, volunteering my time, and which led to a complete career change at 39 years old. I became a paramedic. I first started Dave's course in a suit and tie. I came there with a jacket, a suit and tie, at the survival course. And from there, I asked him if he could take on a volunteer as a field aide. And that completely changed my course of direction in life. And, teaching first aid, ski patrol, search and rescue. And then the big thing is when I did become a paramedic, that opened up more doors for a Marine medic, and developed my confidence, especially with this, helping with the survival course, which eventually led to a show which is going to be actually on next week, and I'll be the host of it, called The Wild City. So actually, yeah, this I would call it a vision quest, well, per se, but just that love of nature certainly changed me around and gave me a lot of confidence. And the people that I met, my mentors, had a great influence.
Wow. That's pretty fantastic. Now, I know we, when you talk to AD Venture and even myself, there's so many of us who, at a later life stage, somehow, somewhere, got bonded with nature, and it flips your life around. And it's beautiful to hear yet another success story of someone of someone who has the opportunity to do that.
You know, we need that. We need to start instilling that in others. And in turn, I believe when you start teaching, and it just reinforces your skill sets, and then actually makes you, I will say, a better person, and also strengthens you as an individual. Getting out there and transferring knowledge, genuine, without expecting anything. But although the course, some courses you do have to pay, we do have to make a living. And I literally had to spend thousands of dollars to upgrade my search and my rescue courses, my first aid courses. But that, in turn, you know, if you love what you do, usually in turn, a business comes out of it. And that's what happened to me.
Well, that's amazing, actually. And I've actually, just so our audience knows, I've actually taken courses with Paul himself. And he's quite skilled, and they're quite enjoyable. And he's a great guy to take these courses on. And I should mention to all our listeners that I posted his website addresses in our Freedomizer Radio chat. And just so for those that don't have access to the chat, the addresses are www.savealifeca.com. And you can also look for Save a Life CA on Facebook. So be sure to check that out. It's a lot of great information there, and you can contact Paul to take some courses through him and get to know all the great things that he's been discussing in regards to safety and search and rescue. So, Paul, can you let our audience know a little more about some experience that you've had in the field, what training that you've had, and what experience
Sure.
that you've gotten?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, the survival, safety, bushcraft all comes in hand. It's all intertwined with your first aid, your map and compass, your wilderness survival. All these are very important skill sets to know. And in addition would be if you like to volunteer. First of all, I started as a volunteer, and you could volunteer with many different search and rescue groups. I started with OVERT in the early 90s, Ontario Voluntary Emergency Response Team in Durham. And then from there, I took a part-time program at Loyalist College to become a paramedic. And then through my rescue courses, such as Swiftwater and Ice Rescue, I landed a job as a Marine medic. Now, which was a full-time position, and you actually are patrolling Lake Ontario and around that area, and what you're basically doing, you're responding to Mayday calls and other type of 911 calls that are on the lake. Some of my land experience was I was a Nordic ski patroller, and I would cross-country ski 30 kilometers of trails. And at night, well, come about 5 o'clock, you always dread that one car that is still left in the parking lot. That means I have to go out and patrol to find the guy. And some other things were, actually, I just stumbled across this. I was near Grundy Provincial Park, and I saw an emergency Jeep go by, some kind of emergency first response. And I asked what was up, if I offered my help, and said, yes, someone is injured near the French River. And I said, well, I volunteered my time. I think that was the most challenging. I've had numerous calls over 14 years of my EMS work, but this one was deep in the bush, and it was 7 o'clock in the evening. So we went out, and I said I'll follow them because I was very confident in the area. But I'll tell you what, that confidence got me in trouble, because I almost got lost myself, but I got back on track, and that was quite a humbling experience. So I got back on, and I found the group. We went in there, we got this guy, and it took, get this, now if you want to carry someone out of the bush, it took 14 of us 3 hours, and with plenty of headlights, headlamps and things like that. So search and rescue is really a great rewarding job. But it certainly takes a lot of work, and you see things that are very unpleasant. So the skill sets, again, that really come in handy with the search and rescue would be your map and compass, your survival skills, take courses in first aid, and you go all the way to wilderness first aid, which I recommend taking an advanced wilderness first aid, 40 hours, because you really have to look after yourself if you're going to look after other people. So these are some things that was very trying. We got the fellow out. We had to backboard him and everything else, but he was fine. We just took spinal precautions. And I could go on with other events, finding people that were hypothermia or hypothermic, and realizing in a wilderness first aid situation that you have to make some form of diagnosis and what are the signs and symptoms of a hypothermia. And, you know, and that comes back to prevention. You yourself, if you're ever going to get involved as a leader or a search and rescue personnel, have to realize how to prevent the number one killer is exposure or that environment. How are you going to protect yourself from the environment? And there's many ways. And there comes to me one of my, actually a famous saying, a Norwegian saying, is there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. And let's remember, again, what is the most important survival kit? And that's our attitude. And that is our attitude and the brain. You got to look after your brain. And all said and done, when that brain starts to cool, you lose, every degree it cools, you lose about 7% of brain function. So what you're doing out there, and I've watched some of your videos out there, showing how to start a fire, talking about survival kits, that is very important. Because, you know, the wilderness is a beautiful place. And what I love about it, because it teaches you to be independent, and you develop confidence once you develop those skill sets. But we have to also remember, a lot of us from the city now are really not prepared. What is the number one habit you see a lot of young people do when they're crossing the street, and which is a killer? They're texting. And they don't even look when, a lot of them are not even looking when crossing the street. Imagine putting this individual into the bush now or in the woods, and they get lost. What do you think they're going to do? But I tell you, if they got a little bit of knowledge, they can use that smartphone, the cell phone, to hopefully dial out. But if they're out of range or whatever, you could get an app for a strobe light on there. You could get some apps for a compass. So actually, that smartphone can come in handy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I know, yeah, we with the story that we just covered just before you called in was a young lady who disappeared into the woods completely naked. And while that may seem silly, you know, if she was prepared for it, I think it would be a really amazing experience. Because the number one shelter that we have, of course, is our clothing, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Our number one shelter is our clothing. And, you know, and also if you pick their clothing, right, what is the materials? In Canada, you know, this may be old school or old news, but maybe new for some of your listeners, that cotton kills in a lot of way. It, you know, draws away moisture. So we, you know, pick something that works away moisture, a wool or, you know, polypropylene, synthetic, something like that, fleece, and dress in the layers. We keep on talking about that. But I think the big thing is really to take a course and, you know, choose a course by looking at who the instructors are and their experience. So this is one thing I do talk about on, it's called The Wild City, which will be on Thursday. And I'm going to be hiking the Rouge, two trails on the Rouge, and I talk about clothing. And, you know, I love the Rouge Park. It's right in Toronto, and it's something very special about it. And, you know, it's a huge piece of land that is pretty wild in there, even in Toronto. So that's what I, you know, I like to actually get people out and get the kids out, get the families out, but they should also be a little bit bush-wise and, you know, what to bring, what to carry, how much water they should bring and clothing, their footwear, if they're not used to walking on a path, because most of us are what, used to walking on the sidewalks.
Yes, for sure. So, yeah, and that's an amazing. So now, is there any charge to this? Is it like a radio broadcast or television, or if it's like a live course that you're running?
Oh, okay. The show is just a regular. It's going to be on Rogers. So the courses I do run are mostly wilderness first aid CPR, and these are credited courses through Heart and Stroke and Save a Life. So these courses, I supply a certification. So there is a fee to that, to the certification. But I do volunteer my time. Just this morning, I went out and I did a patrol on the Rouge Park. I'm a volunteer ambassador and hike leader. So I believe in volunteering and just getting out. And every so often, I'll have some people ask, can you come out and do a volunteer, you know, show some fire starting or do a lecture on hypothermia? And sometimes, yes, I will say yes. And I don't think it degrades my value or anything like that. And I do believe in, you know, just addressing some groups and getting out there and sharing some knowledge now and then. I think it's actually worthwhile to do.
I have to ask you, Paul. You were previously making a mention to something that's coming up for you, something that's actually quite astounding and important, the world premiere of your TV show, Wild City. Why don't you tell us a little more about that, because I'm really excited to hear about this.
Okay, well, I've always been doing some, you know, shows now and then, more on the news and talk about safety and wilderness safety now and things like that. And I finally, after all these years, I'm in my 50s now, but, you know, I've always wanted to get a show to really highlight my background. So what I'm going to do is actually show my whole personality, really, the love of the outdoors, talk about nutrition, health, some fitness, but also it's going to be a little bit different that I'm going to show some safety tips in there as well. So, you know, we'll show a trail, and then I'm going to talk about the trail. I'll have two guest speakers is there as well, two guests. And then we'll talk about the wildlife, and if there's an emergency, there'll be certain different types of emergencies, and I show them what to do, how to pack, and we'll go from there. It's really trying to address the average fellow who has never even gone out and slowly get them into or onto the trails with themselves, with their families, with friends, you know, and if they need to go with somebody, I talk about different groups that will lead a hike for them, and they can meet other people that way as well. So this is going to be looking at gear, safety, some healthy snacks that you could prepare. And the big thing is where to explore in Toronto to get away from it, to get away from it all without having to go far. That's the key component of this show. If you can't, don't have a car, where can you go? And I'm going to show them where to go, even by even taking the TTC.
Well, that's spectacular that you have the ability and the knowledge to share with people that, you know, who are basically city-bound, carless, or they don't want to take their car. That's just phenomenal that you have the ability to do that. Now, I do have a couple of questions about search and rescue, if that's okay. I was a search and rescue. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Now, I was a member of a couple of different search and rescue groups, including Civil Air Rescue Emergency Services out of St. Catharines Airport, and as well as Search and Rescue Niagara, who was. You know, we did a lot of training down in the Short Hills Park area. So I know that things seem to be changing in search and rescue. There seems to be a little bit of public confusion about search and rescue, as in, like, there's some people out there who either true or not, believe that if you get rescued, it's covered. You know, you call the big helicopter and over it comes and picks you up, and it's covered by OHIP. Is that true? Is there any truth to that, or do you have to pay for it if you get rescued?
This is a good point, and I know you were with, you were mentioning Casera.
That's right.
That's a really popular and very well-known search and rescue group, so I commend you on that. Basically, it depends on whether or not you've been negligent. I know in BC they've been charging people, and even some places in out east, if you can work completely negligent. I know, for example, in British Columbia, they were charging skiers who, you know, or snowboarders where they go out of bounds. And a search could cost thousands of dollars. And these people, they've been charging because of their gross negligence. Now, if you are lost for no fault of your own, you left the trip map, you know, you have a survival kit, and, you know, things just went wrong, right? But you were prepared. I will say that it's highly unlikely that you will be charged if you were prepared. Like, things happen even to the seasoned people, okay? It happened to me. I wasn't lost, but I was medically incapacitated on a path, and the EMS people had to come and get me. So I had a situation, but I only had to pay for the ambulance, you know, the fee itself. But if you as a person, you know, you leave trip maps or a details of where you're going, you've maybe even let the OPP know if you're taking a group in, and if there's a mishap, it's highly unlikely you'd be charged. But if you're taking a group and you don't inform anybody, you don't take any of those safety precautions that have been said many times over your show, you could be charged with negligence or gross negligence, especially if you take a group out. That's what we want to get the point across, is that you got to be prepared and be aware of, yes, the wilderness is a beautiful place, but, you know, it can be very dangerous. So the search and rescue have been kind of pushing in regards to charging people that have not been prepared or actually going off bound skiing, especially in BC. That trend seems to be coming up because, as you and I know, a lot of us are volunteers that do the search, but initially in Ontario, the OPP will do the scout, and then if they have to call on the water, we have volunteer Canadian Coast Guard, but then if they call the Canadian Forces or the SARTEX from Trenton, CFB Trenton, that's thousands and thousands of dollars to get that helicopter up in the air. Thousands. Now, if you're in a boat and they realize that you're boat sinking and you don't have a VHF radio, or you don't have any flares or anything like that, you could be charged for those items as well. So those are some things that, yes, there seem to be more. I think our society is heading to more of accountability for the person. But I wouldn't want to tell.
Go right ahead.
I don't want to be saying, like, if you are, you know, you do everything you can, the best you can, you're carrying a map and compass, you know, you've done, you know, your homework, you're taking a group up, you trip itinerary, things like that, you know, it's highly unlikely that you would be charged because you're basically doing everything that you've done, but there is mishap. And I really don't believe that you could be charged with mishap.
Wow, well, AD Venture and I, although we're starting to run out of time, we have had quite a few conversations about this, including the two of us. We'll go out on a day hike, fully prepared to spend the night, even on a simple day hike, and you pass somebody 12 kilometers up the trail with nothing but a bottle of water. And it's like, wow. I hope everything's okay for you. And, you know, the best way to sum this up is there was a movie called Souvenir of Canada by Douglas Copeland. And in that movie, he said that the wilderness loves you, but it's also trying to kill you. And I think that can really sum it up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great saying. That's so true. But that's what draws us. You know, we live in Canada. It's a wild land. It's a beautiful land. Let's go out there and explore, but yet let's not be foolish about it. Let's take courses. Let's go out with people that know what they're doing, and let's get out there and enjoy, and let's be prepared, basically.
That's great great advice, Paul. Now, can you tell us, before we end the show here, if you have any plans in the future or what's in store for SaveALifeCA.com?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to increase my courses. I like to eventually have some people get on board to help teach some of the courses. I'm getting older now, but really like to see people develop a whole round approach of teaching wilderness first aid, a little bit of, they know their survival, they're well-rounded in the woods. And also I like to develop more of my show and get out there and start hosting more TV shows, more episodes, and have guests like you two on. I'd love to have you two on one of my series once it gets going to talk about what you guys do and then show some helpful hints to the viewers on what you two do, actually. And just develop and teach and get out there and spread the message. That's what I want to do.
Wow, that's fantastic that you can do that and that you have that ability. And I think that's what most of us are out here for. It's just a sort of, you know, to get out there to show what we know and do what we love, I think, and that's most important is to have that passion. I'm the same as yourself. I have my I teach wilderness first aid, standard CPRC, but my real passion, strangely enough, is the pet first aid course. I love that course through St. John Ambulance. That's why I got into teaching first aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same with me. Many years ago, I started with St. John also. That was over 23 years ago. I was with St. John.
That's pretty phenomenal. Well, it looks like we've come to the end of our show, but I would like to thank you very much for coming on and sharing all of your insight and your experience with us. We're always very happy to have you, and I'll give it over to AD Venture to close us up.
Yeah, that's right. We've been joined for the last half hour by Paul Tarsitano of SaveLifeCA.com. Be sure to check him out and learn all about him on his website. Look him up on Facebook as well. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll have a lot more in store for you here on the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show on FreedomizerRadio.com. This is Andy Venture and the Wolfman, and we'll see you next week.